Don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Bop bop do bop 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 do bop bop. Don't mean a thing. All you got to do is sing. Bop bop do bop 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 do bop bop. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just play that thing, give it everything you've got. Don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Bop bop do bop 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 do bop bop. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got the swing. Bop bop do bop do bop do bop do bop do bop do bop. Don't mean a thing. All he got to do is sing. Bop bop do bop do bop do bop do bop do bop do bop. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just play that thing, give it everything you've got. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got the swing. Bop bop do bop do bop do bop do bop do bop do bop.
Well, that's a good show starter. Bobby Reynolds, known professionally as Reverend Robert, who is on our show live today. That was him, and he's going to be tonight at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, 7 o'clock show, and really glad to welcome him today to Live and Local, your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly, and thanks for coming in.
All right. Thank you for having me.
You know, it's been a while since you've been on the show. You were on once before, and neither of us could quite remember how long ago it had been. And somehow or another, I seem to remember that on that occasion, you were mostly playing the blues.
Yeah, I think so. And I still, that's still the majority of what I play, but I do a lot of early jazz also and some Caribbean stuff. Been doing more Caribbean and a little bit of Hawaiian guitar. But it always comes back to blues.
And you got, I mean, I've probably asked you some of these questions before, and I simply won't remember the answers, and I'm guessing that our listeners won't either unless they know your life story. You got your start as a blues guitarist, or did you do what most kids who play guitar do and start a garage band of some kind or another?
I did exactly that. I started around my freshman year of high school, and started right off in a garage band, actually doing a lot of like Ramones and things like that. Big Pink Floyd fan back then, but just immediately found the blues, and of course it was more electric back then, and then just a progression, you know, listening progression, and just fell in love with the 20s and 30s.
How did you find the blues? I mean, because the average garage band kid,
it's
probably doesn't even get exposed to it.
Well, you know, I could actually pinpoint, probably like an exact moment. I think, you know, at the time I was listening to a Led Zeppelin record, and somebody pointed out in the Lemon song, the middle of that is Killing Floor by Howlin' Wolf. And I happened to be at a record store, and I seen a cassette tape on the cheap rack of Howlin' Wolf's Greatest Sides, and it's been like 25 years ago, I think, or probably close to that, and I still have that exact same cassette tape. So that was it. That was the first time I really, really heard it and listened to it, just immediately fell in love with it.
So Led Zeppelin just stuck that tune in the middle of another song?
Yeah, the rhythm guitar part. You know, is what it turned out to be. It was the first song on that cassette tape, And especially as soon as he started singing, you know, that was I was hooked.
Now you're living in Charleston. Is that where you're from originally? Or
I grew up in Mattoon.
Mattoon, so close enough.
Yeah.
The blues not exactly happening big down there, I don't imagine.
No, but it, you know, I've done well playing there, playing blues. And, you know, you find the common things that people will like, you know, making it danceable and playing old blues songs that people have maybe heard someone else do at some point. And, you know, so, you know, I've always stayed busy there also.
Well, what I was actually getting at was, you know, for somebody to start doing the blues, did you find encouragement? Did you find discouragement just from your peers, from parents and so on? Did they all look at you funny like, what's this all about?
You know, it was, I found encouragement. I had a few friends that were also into it at the time. And so when I was about 19 or 20, we started, you know, a blues band that was out playing. And, you know, we had great crowds. A lot of people showed up, you know, and it's one of those things you learn later that was mostly friends and family. Once you do it for a while, they stop showing up.
They've had their fill.
Yeah, and then you have to work a little harder at it. But it's, but yeah, we had a lot of support, you know, when we were doing that early on.
And as you said, electric blues to start. So what, the likes of Muddy Waters and so on?
Yeah,
and,
a lot of
Howlin'
Muddy
Wolf,
Waters.
Since you mentioned there.
Yeah, Howlin' Wolf, of course. Did a lot of back then, a lot of Buddy Guy and Junior Wells stuff. You know, I played a lot of slide guitar, did a lot of Elmore James. You know, so yeah, a lot of the early Chicago electric blues.
And at what point and for what reason did you shift to acoustic, which is what you mostly do now, and sort of rediscover the Delta?
Yeah, well, I'm really into the history of, well, I have a lot of things when I get interested in them. And I read a lot of history of the blues, and of course just kept, you know, reading certain names over and over, you know, of the Delta guys, you know, Robert Johnson, of course, but then like Charlie Patton, who's my favorite, and Son House, you know, some of these other Delta musicians. And so I found recordings of them, and I just gradually got to where definitely the 20s and 30s are my it's become my favorite era, not just with blues, but with a lot of the music.
Since you're up on the history, when one says the Delta, I assume we're talking mostly Mississippi Delta.
Yeah, it's mostly, you know, south of Memphis. You know, there's parts of Arkansas, like Helena, Arkansas, where they had the King Biscuit Radio Hour and stuff. That's kind of part of the Delta. But, yeah, mostly through Mississippi. I spend a lot of time now in Clarksdale, Mississippi, which is just an amazing, amazing town. It's not much bigger than Mattoon. And just the number of musicians that came, if not directly from that town, within a few miles radius, a lot of the farm country there, the plantations. You had, you know, Muddy Waters and Pine Top Perkins and John Lee Hooker and Sam Cooke even come from there, and Junior Parker. Just this long list of people that came from a town that size is just still amazing to me all the time.
Sam Cooke, the pop singer from
ages,
Well, not exactly ages ago, but some time ago. Do you have a sense of, you know, in your reading of how it is that this particular kind of music seemed to either coalesce in this area or grow out of this area? What was it about the area that grew these kind of this kind of music?
Well, it's kind of interesting because it's just one style of what later got termed just blues. You know, each region, especially in the 20s, like there was a huge difference between the 20s and the 30s, really. A guy like Charlie Patton, for instance, you know, he just had a very unique style. And there were a couple other people from that area, like Willie Brown and Son House, that had a similar style. But that was it. That region had its own style. And so it was the same thing if you went to Texas, if you went to the Southeast, to Carolina, you know, to Georgia. They all had their own style, and Delta Blues was just one of them that developed that way. And then by the 30s, when you have a guy like Robert Johnson, he was just sitting down with a record and learning everybody's songs, you know, not much differently than we do today. And so he does songs in the style of Scrapper Blackwell, who's from Indianapolis, or Skip James, who is down in Bentonia, Mississippi, farther south. And so he was, you know, by the 30s, guys were doing a lot bigger variety. But you can really hear on those records of the 20s, guys had very distinct styles. And I think the main reason the Delta Blues has stayed so much popular and so much a part of the roots is that migration north, you know, up to Chicago, and then the Chicago blues, you know, people like Muddy Waters, you know, took that sound up and electrified it, and it really so it has more influence on popular music now and rock and roll. And
what would you say are stylistic highlights of the Delta Blues? And can you give us some examples?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing always with it, and what attracts me to it, is it's just the rhythm of it. It was dance music, and I think that's what draws me to that era. Is it was acoustic music, which I love. I love the tones and everything of acoustic music, but it's when acoustic music was dance music. You know, so it's very rhythmic. And another aspect of it is the bottleneck guitar.
Bobby's got three instruments in the room here, two guitars and some small thing, which we'll hear about later.
Yeah.
Just made a switch there.
And I apologize, I have a little bit of a rattle in this one that I'll have to find and get rid of later. But yeah, a lot of it is the percussiveness and the dancing of them. And this is, I'm going to do a Charlie Patton a tune here that kind of shows that. I can never do him a lot of justice, but you get the idea of what I'm talking about. And also, I'm gonna use a little bit of bottleneck here, which is not just a Delta style, but it's a big part of what was going on in the Delta. And I use an actual just a cutoff piece of a wine bottle, and it acts as a movable fret. So instead of doing like you know, have that very characteristic sound of the motion of the note. And, you know, and originally the idea behind it was when Africans were playing Western music, especially fretted instruments like a guitar, they had a hard time finding some of the notes that they used in their music. You know, because in their music they still used, you know, what's called just tuning. They still had these different notes that are in between the tempered scale. And so to find them, they would do a few different things. One of them is use a bottleneck. So instead of this note or this note, they looked for that note.
Hence the blue note.
The blue note, yeah. And, you know, you could do it with the bottleneck, or you could do it by bending. You know, or piano, where you couldn't bend a note or anything, that's where they would always trill. You know, they would play back and forth between those two notes.
Or play two notes at once.
Yeah, or play those two notes at once, which you'll hear a lot in Charlie Patton's stuff. You know, had that really nice tension of the two notes at once, kind of I call him like, you know, about 15, 20 years before Thelonious Monk. But
that's who I was thinking of, you know. Melodious thunk, including, you know, hitting those sort of things. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, just this song will use some of those different things. This is a Charlie Patton song, again one of my favorites. So this one's called "Love My Stuff."
Well, I love my stuff, baby. Love to get high. Well, I love my stuff,
way to shimmy now. Lord, it just won't stop. Well, you know I like it hot, baby. Sure don't like it cold. Well, you know I like it hot, baby. Sure don't like it cold. Well, it would break my heart if you couldn't use me no more. I keep telling my riding down, baby, won't you please shimmy down? I keep telling my riding now, baby, won't you please shimmy down? Wear that jelly old strut maker, monkey man, leave this town. I'm gonna leave Mississippi, baby, before it gets too late. I'm gonna leave Mississippi, baby, before it gets too late. Going like 27 high water, Lord, it just won't wait. Well, you know I had a notion, baby, I believe I will. Well, you know I had a notion, baby, I believe I will. I'm gonna boat across that river now and stop the Dago Hill.
Music by Charlie Patton as played by Reverend Robert. Bobby Reynolds here on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. He's live in our studio in advance of his gig at the Iron Post in Urbana at 7 o'clock tonight. So we'll give him a little bit of a break before he has to go play for the public in a different venue than here on public radio. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. You mentioned Robert Johnson listening to a lot of records and imitating various other performers that way, and you know, way back when, and that's the pretty common way for people to learn still. Whether it's this kind of music or jazz or a number of other kinds of music that is typically learned by ear. And you also mentioned that you spend a lot of time in Mississippi yourself. In fact, you're going there pretty soon, what, about a week or so.
Yeah.
Have you learned the blues mostly from records, or have you mixed in going down, you know, to the source, granted a more contemporary source, and just sit down with people and learn by their side?
I've mostly learned from records, you know, because I've been, you know, going down to Mississippi the last 5 years or so a lot. So I've definitely learned, you know, sitting and playing with some of those guys. And, you know, and there's a lot of people down there that, you know, everyone talks about every time, like when Pine Top Perkins died or Honey Boy Edwards, who was always down there, and I got to play with Honey Boy a few times, you know, that a lot of them are going away, and they are, but there's a lot of them still down there, because for all of them that went north and recorded records and things like that, a lot of them stayed there and kept their day jobs, but still played. So you could go down there, and one of them I got to play with, T Model Ford.
They have such wonderful names, some of these
guys. Oh, yeah, yeah. And he was just such a character, and he was one of those guys, you know, he just stuck around down there, but played music. And so there's still guys down there, you know, to go learn from and to hear what they're doing. And the style is, there's not a lot of them that are doing like the Charlie Patton style. It's a lot more of the, like the John Lee Hooker style, or if anyone's familiar, like R.L. Burnside, there's there's a lot of, it's electrified, even if it's one guy or a lot of times just a guitar and a drummer, but no bass or anything, just a two piece. And it's louder and it's a lot more straight beat, kind of foot stomp and stuff. You know, they call it hill country, but a lot of the guys down there laugh about that because Clarksdale is nowhere near the hill country, but it's just what some record labels had kind of dubbed it, and it's stuck. But yeah, it's a different style, and it's influencing a lot of pop music. A lot of like the Black Keys and things like that are definitely influenced by that.
What about younger guys and girls coming up in that area? Do you encounter a full line of generations passing this music down?
Yeah. Surprisingly, you know, more than I expected down there. There's a lot of younger people doing it. I know RL's family, Burnside. You know, there's a lot of them. You know, a lot of his family doing it. And part of what it is they're taking it in kind of a fresh direction with this. What they call the hill country thing, you know, it's a lot more raw sounding. It's something I think younger people enjoy more, because you know, the Chicago blues sound, I mean, I hate to say it because I love it and I played it for so long, but it can actually, for me, even sometimes, like, I'm ready for a little bit of a change. And when you get down there, it's just fresh. There's a lot of people doing new things with it, you know, just when you thought, you know, blues is traditional music, you can't change it or it won't be blues anymore, and then you hear what some of them are doing with it and it's just amazing. So
do you and then what's your take on it when you do you take some of the older tunes and then make them new in some way, or do you mostly recreate?
Yeah, I do both. You know, I have some songs that are pretty close to note for note, and that's just because there was something about that song that I wanted to learn, you know, what that person was doing, and I'll learn it that way.
Such as the one you just played.
Yeah, that one's it's not note for note, but it's a lot of different Charlie Patton ideas put into one song, you know, so it's definitely kind of a tribute to a lot of different Charlie Patton things. Then there's some songs that I'll change a whole bunch, you know, because I'm not, for loving so much traditional music, I'm not a real traditionalist. Like I said, I like the acoustic sound, so I always have that older sound. But I, you know, I love a lot of, you know, like I said, Caribbean music and modern sounds of that stuff and African music and things like that and little bits of it. You know, will end up in my playing, definitely.
Do you have an example of something updated that?
Yeah, I can give you one. This one again. This was kind of an idea of one inspired by Charlie Patton. Because another story about him that I always thought was fascinating was, you know, Son House, who had played with him a lot, house parties and things like that. When they rediscovered him later on, Son House, they interviewed him and they played some Charlie Patton records for him, and he was amazed. He said, I never knew Charlie Patton could play guitar like that. He said, when we played at shows, he'd most of the time just drum on his guitar and clown around. And the thing was, he would start a song, and once people started dancing, he might set the guitar in his lap or something and then just drum on it, whatever, to keep the dancers going. So I always find that fascinating, and I think in a lot of ways that old blues like that has as much in common. I know the purists, if this wasn't radio, they'd throw something at me, but a lot of the blues has more in common with hip-hop and a lot of that than it does with folk music, you know, in that way. It was very repetitive dance music, and Charlie Patton especially, and Book of White's another one. They just really epitomize that. So anyway, this one, I just use a little bit more of a modern beat, and use that Charlie Patton percussive style, and this is the idea of where I come from. It's kind of inspired by him. It's actually a Howlin' Wolf song, but the beat and the guitar part are completely mine, so it's just kind of a mix. And oddly enough, I think the whole inspiration for this song was just a chord shape I learned off a Django Reinhardt record, which just was...
there's a mix for
great.
You.
Yeah. So this is what I came up with. This is my version of Spoonful. Could be a spoonful of diamond. Could be a spoonful of gold. Just a little spoon, your precious love, satisfy my soul. Me lie about that. Me cry about that. Me die about that. Everybody's fighting about a spoonful. Spoon that, spoon that, spoonful. That spoon that, spoon that, spoonful. Could be a spoonful of coffee, could be a spoonful of tea. Just a little spoon, your precious love, good enough for me. Me lie about that, me die about that, me cry about that. Everybody's fighting about a spoonful, spoon that, spoon that, spoon. Then spoon that, spoon that, spoon. Save it from a desert sand. Just a little spoon, little 45. Save it from another man. Me lie about that. Me cry about that. Me die about that. Everybody's fighting by a spoonful. Spoon that, spoon that, spoon. Then spoon that, spoon that, spoon.
Since you mentioned hip-hop, I was just trying to hear some of those beats in there, and I suppose many things are related, aren't they?
Yeah.
A tune called Spoonful, Howlin' Wolf's tune. I'm thinking of a word that doesn't mean just update. It means I'm not thinking of a word that I'm wanting here, but freshened up, let's say, by Bobby Reynolds. Reverend Robert here on Live and Local. He's my guest for the hour, live in our studio, and he'll be at the Iron Post in Urbana for a show tonight at 7. You mentioned earlier that some of the older guys, you know, they kept their day jobs down there, and I tend to forget to ask a lot of musicians, because I know that many, if not most, of the musicians who come through here have day jobs other than their music. Do you?
Sometimes. I try not to. But yeah, I mean, when things are slow, I have things I do. I'm real good friends with a family back in Mattoon. Has a funeral home. I work there sometimes. And then and once in a while, I do some roofing.
I think I might remember the roofing from last time.
Maybe. Yeah. That was always a good motivator to get out and book more shows.
You're not a roofing isn't your favorite thing to do, I gather.
No, it's not terrible. You know, when the weather's nice, it's good to be outside, but it hurts a lot more than it used to.
Yeah, I imagine so. I remember doing it as a kid, but it was fun to do. When you were a bunch of kids doing it with your dad, you could put a roof on your house, and that was fun. But anyway, we don't want to go too far down there. I was just looking at the schedule for the Elnora Guitar Festival. It's going to be at the Krannert Center coming up in a few weeks. And you mentioned Buddy Guy earlier. He's going to be there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
On September the 6th. And so many, in fact, this what made me think of this guitar festival was sort of a mix of ways of playing the guitar that you were just doing right there, percussive and otherwise. And they have such a wonderful mix of not only guitarists, but people playing related instruments. And I wondered who else you listen to. What other sorts of things do you listen to that you've picked up on? You mentioned a couple times now some Hawaiian music, African music, and Caribbean music. But you know, what would be your mix of guitarists that you like to hear?
I like I'm a big fan of Taj Mahal. You know, I got to play in front of him at the King Biscuit Blues Festival a few years ago.
In front of him, meaning opening for him, or
much opening. Yeah, I mean, very early in the day compared to him. But it was, the great thing about it was, since I played on stage down there at the festival, I had an artist pass, so I could hang out back there. And two of my all-time favorites, Taj Mahal and Dr. John, were both playing that weekend. And I got to meet Dr. John and talk with him for a while. I never got to meet Taj Mahal, but I'm always a big fan of his because he's always doing something different. You know, he's a great blues singer, but he's never afraid to go and do something else. And a lot of the same music I like, a lot of the Caribbean and African music. You know, some of my favorite stuff I've been listening to now, and I'm starting to try and find ways to incorporate it in my playing, especially with the African music, is Thomas Zapfumo. He's a Zimbabwean musician that's just really incredible music, and rhythmically just really interesting. And so I'm trying to get a handle on that, but of course at this point I can't play any of it and sing at the same time. So
because it's too rhythmically complex, or just trying to figure out the style?
Yeah, just rhythmically complicated. A lot of the, you know, the three and the two at the same time, and, you know, polyrhythms but just really, really beautiful music. So a lot of, and King Sunny Ade, he's a Nigerian musician that I really enjoy. I love the rhythm section of his band. It's more traditional drums and a talking drum, you know, and then he's playing guitar. So I've been listening to a lot of that. But yeah, as far as modern musicians, I already mentioned, you know, Taj Mahal and Dr. John. I love the New Orleans brass bands, Rebirth Brass Band, and a lot of the bands like that. A guy named Corey Harris. You know, I haven't heard anything from him in a while, but he's one that was a big influence when I started playing acoustic blues. I had a couple of his records.
Is he a guitarist also?
Or? Yeah, guitar player and singer.
Do you mostly listen to guitarists? I mean, you mentioned brass band, or what else?
No, I like a lot of. I love a lot of, with the African stuff, I like a lot of the traditional drumming. Love a lot of percussion. Yeah, the brass bands, imbira, which is a thumb
piano. Yeah.
You know, that's what Thomas Zapfumo plays, and just a big part of that Zimbabwean music. And so I've got one of those I'm learning on.
Is that going to show up in your shows at some point?
I hope so. I have a long ways to go on it. Once you sit down and start to play it, it's a lot more complex instrument than it seems like it would be.
But, well, we have a great guy for that who's been on this show a number of times, including a couple of times.
Is that Tom?
Tom Torino.
Yeah. I've met Tom a couple times. He's one of my I need to hook up with. Yeah.
He's playing out a lot. Well, as long as you mentioned, his Cornstalkers Cajun Band is going to be playing at Alta Vineyards in Champaign on Saturday.
Okay.
For a show at 7:30. That's just one of the styles that he does. Well, we talked about African. Did you bring some along, something African Caribbean that you wanted to do today?
Yeah, I've got some not necessarily just African stuff. I do have some Caribbean stuff. Do some calypso tunes. I have one. This one I have a record by a band called Felix and His Crazy Cats that recorded this calypso song in the 30s. And as I've traveled around and played this, I would always get these stories about, oh, I heard so-and-so do this song. And turns out it's an old swing tune at one point. And then, of all places, in Clarksdale, Mississippi, I had a lady tell me it was actually an old Yiddish song. And so I was telling this story while I was in England playing. And when I got home, one of the guys there sent me a whole history on this song, and it is Yiddish in origin. It's called By Mirbis Duchesne.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mavis Duchesne. Please let me explain. By Mavis Duchesne means you are grand. By Mavis Duchesne, again I'll explain. It means you're the fairest in the land. If I can say Belle, La Belle, I'll even say wonderful Duchesne, which helps, helps me tell you how grand, grand you are. I tried to explain. By Mavis Duchesne, so kiss me and say you'll understand. Which helps, helps me tell you how grand, grand you are. I tried to explain, my Mavis Duchesne. So kiss me and say you'll understand.
Where did you say you picked it up first?
I have a compilation CD of Calypso music, and it's a band called Felix and His Crazy
Cats. That's right.
Yeah.
And it made it, because I, you know, I've heard that song many times, and now you make me think, well, in what context did I originally hear it? I seem to, well, as soon as I start saying where I might have heard it, it'll be completely misremembered. But that is not one of the areas that I would have expected it to have traveled for some reason into Caribbean music.
Yeah, and now that I've heard some of the other versions, because that was the first one I ever heard of it, now I've heard like the Andrews Sisters did it, and you know, some old kind of swing versions. Yeah, it's definitely different. But you know, a lot of those musicians, you know, they were, you know, same thing by the time the 30s rolled around. You know, and a lot of the musicians from Trinidad that were doing Calypso were actually living in New York and recording in New York. And so they were hearing all of the, you know, all of the jazz from the area and using a lot of jazz musicians, actually horn players and things on their recordings. So
what about jazz? I mean, you mentioned early jazz, ragtime as being things that have crept into your, what I guess is becoming a collective style now.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the blues finger picking. You know, I don't do a whole bunch of the, I mean, like traditional ragtime, but a lot of that right hand style of finger picking stuff, and you know, and then just some of the early jazz. I'm a big fan of Louis Armstrong. And
how much improvisation have you gotten into?
Oh, I do a lot. You know, it just depends on the song. That's right. I'm not as much of an improviser when I'm doing the ragtime, honestly, as I am when I'm doing like the Delta stuff. The Delta stuff, you know, a lot of times I won't ever play the same, you know, the song the same way twice. With the ragtime, I'm still a little more glued to the structure of it, just because I've not, you know, I've not played it as long as I have the Delta stuff. And but, yeah, so it just depends on the song and the context.
You have three instruments with you today. Do you have other instruments as well that when you're going to play a certain song, you grab that one and it suits better?
I mostly use these three. I have this guitar that I just used. It's a National Style O, and it's I use it in standard tuning. And I do most of like the jazz and the Caribbean stuff and some of the finger picking on it. And then I have the National Tricone that I leave in open tunings and do all the bottleneck stuff on. And I use a few different tunings there. And then the other one that I haven't done anything with yet is a little National ukulele. And then I do have a Tricone square neck that I play some Hawaiian stuff on. And I bring that out once in a while. I do a handful of songs, but like I use it a little bit on the CD, but I don't have as many things that I play solo with it. So I don't always, you know, I don't always use it. But
since you mentioned CD, you've got a couple of them available. If somebody wants one, best to go to your website, or can they find them on iTunes or what?
Yeah, you can go to revrobert.com. I should be on iTunes by now. That's actually I'm very computer illiterate, and as I was loading that stuff up, I had problems with the CD cover, the artwork being put on there. But I just got back from a short tour out on the East Coast, and I have a guy out there who's setting that up for me. Just a drummer that I'd met while I was out there that was pretty savvy on all of that. So he's going to have it set up, so I should be on there anytime.
Occurs to me that I haven't said for a while to our listeners that my guest today here on Live and Local is Reverend Robert, a.k.a. Bobby Reynolds of Charleston, Illinois, who's going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana for a show tonight at 7 o'clock before he heads back down to Mississippi for in a week or so for a while. Our program today is made possible by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts announcing the 2013-14 season featuring El Nora the Guitar Festival, Hungarian State Folk Ensemble Gypsy Romance, Meredith Monk on behalf of Nature, Moscow Festival Ballet, and more. Tickets are on sale now. Visit krannertcenter.com. Do we get to hear the little ukulele? Do you ever play just a straight up acoustic guitar?
Not much anymore. Part of the reason is I have one little parlor guitar at home that I love. I used it on the first CD a lot. But I've gotten where I don't plug the guitars in anymore. I always just mic them, which is real easy to do with the resonators. And they're all a similar volume, so it makes it real easy just to switch from guitar to guitar. So they're my favorite sound, and I sometimes think, for variety, I should bring the parlor out a little bit, but, then I have to, have a whole different way of hooking it up and stuff. So I've gotten to where I usually just play the resonators.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got his National Steel ukulele.
Yeah, this is my newest one.
Sounds like we ought to hear some Hawaiian music right now.
Well... I'm going to do one. This is actually a Tampa Red song. So it's an old blues song, or I guess what they called the hokum style. But it just ended up translating really nice to the ukulele. So I'm going to... Nothing but a whiskey still, ain't got whiskey, so they say. Out there giving everything away, just giving it away, just giving it away. And Sue got a bakery back of the jail, sign on the wall, said jelly roll for sale, ain't got jelly, so they say. Out there giving everything away, just giving it away, just giving it away. She been all over town, wore riding ragged, boy, she broken down. Now she working, but she don't get paid. Out there giving everything away, she's giving it away, well, she's giving it away.
Tampa Red tune played in our studio by Reverend Robert. All these names are really interesting, Howlin' Wolf and Tampa Red and Pine Top Perkins, and there were a bunch of others. What was the best one you mentioned? I forgot his name now. And then Reverend Robert. How did you come up with that one anyway? You're not ordained, I gather.
Well,
or are you?
Sort of, yeah, I am. I mean, I do some weddings and occasional funeral, but no preaching.
So that kind of ordination.
It actually, the nickname started, I guess it really is a joke. When I had my blues band in it was after high school, but it was around 19 or so. There was a local like an open mic, and the band would go up and play, and every night we'd go up and play. We had a different name to put on the list, and we were Reverend Robert and the Raging Caucasians one night. And the owner of the bar at the end of the night said, "Y'all want you to come back and play on Friday." And that was the name that stuck. So
I thought you were going to say he wanted you to come back with a different name.
No, he loved the name. But yeah, so that was the name that stuck. And I just, never changed.
And nobody comes after you, people who actually wear a collar or something like that and say, "You can't use that."
No. There's a, there's a history. There's, Reverend Gary Davis and, Robert Wilkins, Reverend Robert Wilkins. And there's a few of them that played throughout. So, I do occasionally get somebody when they come and they see my show and they'll come up and say, we enjoyed that, but we were a little nervous, that you were actually just going to do gospel all night, which...
You were going to ask everybody to come down and get saved at the end of the show.
Right.
Something to that effect. So many of these guys, I assume, have names because of some physical feature. Although I don't imagine that was true for Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah, no, I mean, what was the story with that? I'm not sure I remember now. I'd hate
Pine
to tell
Top Perkins would be another
hate to
one.
Tell the wrong one, yeah. Well, a funny story about that is one time when I was quite a bit younger and I was down south playing, and there were a lot of these guys around, like Honey Boy Edwards, and a lot of them were there. And a guy, and I think it might have been Honey Boy that said this, but we were all standing around there, and one of the guys was making the joke about, all the blues musicians that were blind, and it was always in their name, and he thought it was strange. And I think it was Honey Boy that looked at him and said, "Well, it's not really all that strange." He said, "Back then, if you were blind, all you could do is play music or preach." And that really stuck with me. I thought, well, yeah, that makes sense. They weren't, back then there was no other way for them to have an income. And they all played music or they preached.
They preached, but there does seem to have been a large number, a disproportionately large number of blind blues players, and I guess jazz musicians as well.
Yeah, and I think that was part of it back then. That was just one of the only vocations that they could take up, really. So, I think that was a big part of it. That it never really crossed my mind, as obvious as it is.
It's not an entirely entire change of subject, but I'm just looking a bit at your biography here and reminded of your big win many years ago, about 9 years ago now, the National Slide Guitar Festival, North Carolina. How far did that take you? How significant is that? And then what did it do for you?
Well, it's honestly just been it's been nice to have on the resume. I put that on there, and it's, at the time, I guess the short answer is a couple hundred dollars and a half hour set on the main stage.
That's about what it brought, huh?
Yeah, which was great. The whole festival was really good and a lot of fun. And just to have that on the resume, I'm not sure, how much I've been able to book because that's on there.
Well, I didn't know.
I assume it helps.
Because, if you do a classical competition, if it's one of the major competitions, let's say as a pianist or a violinist or something, often they'll give you part of the prize in addition to money will be possibly a recording contract for some period of time, and definitely a certain number of performances at fairly significant venues. And then once your contract is finished, it's up to you to and the places where you've played to determine your future success. In other words, if you went and were great at all those places you played, they'll probably ask you back and it'll continue. But if you went and you squandered not necessarily squandered, but you didn't seem to live up to your billing, so to speak, well, then that was probably the end of your career. But anyway, long way of saying nothing like that with this one, huh?
No. This was a pretty small scale, venue. I mean, it was a great festival outdoors near Brevard, North Carolina, just on the side of a mountain. Just, a great festival. But yeah, just, not a big prize like that. But it was, it was a lot of fun.
And how do you get how do you get your gigs for the most part? I mean, are you increasingly over time have people come into you and say, we want you down to come and play at this festival? Or
I have been just really lucky with the people I've met and with the networking. The best thing that ever happened was when I started going south and playing at the festivals, just showing up at Clarksdale. The first time I went to the Juke Joint Festival down there, immediately I got to play in front of some people. I just played on the street, and from there ended up with gigs in the UK and Canada and the Northeast and other venues down south, like the King Biscuit that I mentioned. And then each time you play one of those. So I've just been lucky enough to be able to play in front of people that then, they'll see me at one festival and then they're interested in booking me at another festival where they live. And so, I've done it myself just through the networking.
So as in so many areas of marketing, word of mouth is the best way to go in this case.
Yeah, I think it is. There's obviously the other stuff that I'm not as good at, the computer marketing and things like that I try to keep up with, as good as I can. But it seems like, especially with the blues festivals, it's still, I was laughing about it on this last trip out northeast because I think I sold 2 CDs. And, that used to be the main way I would make money when I was traveling. And still, if I go to a festival where you have a lot of, like, baby boomers and things still at these blues festivals, they still buy CDs. But a lot of the other places I play when I'm touring, people just don't buy CDs anymore.
Because they do downloads?
Yeah. And it's just really changed, the whole way to do the merchandise. So, I need to keep up with that.
So you definitely get that iTunes account working.
Yeah.
Or that iTunes link working. Well, coming back to the music, do you do much composition yourself? Do you play many originals?
Yeah, I do a little bit. I do, everything's kind of a melting pot with me, but the one thing is I'm not much of a lyricist. I don't know that I'm terrible at it. I just don't spend very much time with it.
So when you do write something, does it typically have lyrics or is it more likely to be instrumental?
Yeah, what I'll do a lot of times is I'll come up with just like the ukulele song I just played. I mean, the whole ukulele part is does not resemble anything Tampa Red played at all. So, but then the lyrics are from him. And most of the songs I've played so far have been that way. I mean, the guitar part is really my creation, like I said, a melting pot of different things. And then, but lyrically, I a lot of times borrow. One because I'm lazy about writing lyrics. and two, because it's, sometimes it's just better to have some lyrics people are familiar with, So if I have my own music, people are going to be more interested in the song if they recognize the lyrics. So when I do something like Spoonful, especially at a blues festival, everyone knows that song, but they've never heard it played that way. So that, that.
So they'll appreciate your touch.
Yeah.
You hope.
Yeah, not always.
Well, think about what you want to go out with while I mention some other things going on in our listening area over the next couple of days. Len and Lois are billed here as folk Dixie country music. They're going to be at the Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood for a show this evening at 5:30. The Diva and the Dude are at Clark Bar in Champaign tonight at 6:30. I don't know if it's Popa Chubby. This is a new name to me, playing the blues at the Castle Theater in Bloomington tonight at 7:30. Tony Holt and the Wildwood Valley Boys are playing bluegrass tonight at Rockholm Gardens in Arcola tonight at 7. The Gunnysack Review has its weekly gig at the Yoder Center in Arthur, which I just passed by the other day. Wrong day to hear them. Tonight at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, Jeff Arrigo is at Clark Bar in Champaign at 6:30. Christy Bennett and friends. Talked to Christy on yesterday's show. She's a wonderful jazz singer, going to be playing at Bouvant's in Urbana. It's what's called her Fumé Gypsy Project. That's tomorrow night at 8. Ed and Judy Howard Band play jazz at the Twilight Ballroom in Springfield tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And Larry Harms Trio plays jazz at Basta O'Neill's in Washington. Finally, Jim Vassalou is at Swinger's Grill in Normal tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And also coming up this weekend in Urbana is the Champaign-Urbana Singer-Songwriter Festival, which will include sort of a recreation of their Bob Dylan Festival that we featured on this show some time ago. And on tomorrow's Live and Local, we'll be having a number of those singer-songwriters back on the show with us. Actually, some of them I haven't met before, so it'd be nice to have some new voices. Some of them will do some Dylan tunes. Some of them will do some other things. So that'll be on tomorrow's Live and Local from 4 to 5. If you have an iPhone, iPad, or Android device, you can now take the new WYLL app with you. It is free, allows you to stream our AM and FM stations, listen to past episodes of your favorite programs on demand, like Live and Local. For more information about how to find the WYLL radio app in the App Store or Google Play, visit our website at wyll.illinois.edu, will.illinois.edu. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and coming up in just a couple of minutes, it's All Things Considered from NPR. Reminder that the Reverend Robert will be at the Iron Post tonight in Urbana for a show at 7 o'clock. Bobby's been great to have you on the show today. Welcome back, and hope you'll be back again.
All right, thank you.
What do you want to take us out with?
I'm going to do one. This is one called Keep It Clean.
One of yours or from somewhere else?
No, this is from a guy from St. Louis named Charlie Jordan. Recorded this in the 30s.
Live on Live and Local.
Jump on your papa cause I thought it was a horse. Well, rode him over, gave him Coca-Cola, yeah, yeah, lemon soda, saucer ice cream, soap and water, for to keep it clean. Walking downtown, I stumbled and fell, mine flew open like an oyster shell. Well, rode him over, gave him Coca-Cola, yeah, yeah, lemon soda, saucer ice cream, soap and water, for to keep it clean. Sister was a tabby, your papa was a bear. Put a muzzle on your mama cause she got curly hair. Rolled him over, gave him Coca-Cola, yeah, yeah, lemon soda, saucer ice cream, soap and water, for to keep it clean. To put on your collar and your TIE. Well, rode him over, gave him Coca-Cola, yeah, yeah, lemon soda, saucer ice cream, soap and water, for to keep it clean. Wanna get the rabbit out the yellow G, got to put on the stump like a DOG. Well, rode him over, gave him Coca-Cola, yeah, yeah, lemon soda, saucer ice cream, soap and water,